You are listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app, change the world.
Good afternoon. We are back, or on, whatever it is. I'm Leo Brown, happy to be with you. Leo Brown, Almost Hour, Culture, Current Events, Our Catholic Faith. We talk about that for 50 minuts every afternoon. Rabia Ahmed in our last segment of the show. Looking forward to talking to her. So we'll find out what's going on with the Muslim Public Affairs Council and get her perspective on some of the things in the news, of course, and always interesting perspectives when it comes to the many, many challenges from a religious standpoint, from a racial standpoint, you name it, it always just seems to get more and more interesting. We'll also get to some of the recent developments now, and will the realization that appears to be a almost a billion-dollar loss 18 years ago be a problem for Trump in the polls? We'll see what that looks like. And our Holy Father coming out and saying, we have to respect those of same-sex attraction, of course, but this whole gender theory concept, questioning that. So an interesting both and. We'll talk about all of that and more. I'm Leo Brown, Leo Brown Almost Hour, back after this.
If you enjoy listening to the Leo Brown Almost Hour, consider becoming a friend of the show. Go to breadboxmedia.com and click on Friend of the Show to provide your support. Thank you. You are listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app, change the world.
Brown, happy to be with you. Leo Brown, Almost Hour, Culture, Current Events, Our Catholic Faith, 50 minutes every afternoon. Follow me on Facebook, Leo C. Brown. We talk about all of the things over there that we talk about over here, pretty much. Rarely do we not cross-pollinate between the two, and always interesting things, and I like to ask questions, I like to get people thinking and talking and discussing and at least exploring in ways that maybe we haven't thought about before. One of the recent questions I asked just over the weekend was regarding immigration, and asking the question, if we had a northern border issue with white illegals from Canada coming across the border, would we have an immigration crisis? And some say, of course. Some say, no. And that's generally what we discover. It's usually all about perspective. It is undoubtedly all about perspective. And certainly there are those who just are convinced that xenophobia has nothing to do with anything, that it's not even an issue. Convinced of that. And then there are those who are convinced that racism is undoubtedly the main driver behind everything. And I think the answer is probably somewhere between. I think that there's an underlying degree of racism in all of us. I think we have to realize that. If we don't, we're being disingenuous. While at the same time, while there are true, undoubted, ridiculous degrees of hatred when it comes to race issues, those who are in that category are truly minuscule. So I think we got to realize that the answer is somewhere in the middle, but it was a fun question. So, with some interesting responses. So if you want to chime in on that one, you could certainly do that. And then because I keep, you know, keeps getting as we get closer and closer to the election, it's all about, well, it can't be this person. That's why I'm voting this way. I'm no fan of this guy. But then when I hear this, you know, and I've even said things of the nature of this romanticism or this, you know, there was this thrilling Chris Matthews one in 2008 talking about the thrill running up or down his leg. I'm not sure what it was. Thinking about Barack Obama, I'm convinced there are those in the conservative world who feel the same way about Donald Trump. You can't tell me that most individuals are just voting for him because anything but Hillary. I don't buy it. I just don't. I think there are those who are very energized, very excited, and think this guy is what it's about. There's no doubt. So I kind of jokingly place this scenario of saying that I'm no fan of the Joker, but as I understand it, once he's ruling Gotham City, he'll appoint a great commissioner. And apparently the Penguin has been endorsed by Planned Parenthood, so I'm just really voting against him. That's it. Just voting against the Penguin. Not that I like the Joker. He's bad, just not Penguin bad. So I hope that little illustration shines some light on what we're talking about here in this election, because it's kind of gotten to that point of cartoonishness to some degree. And to the point where now we kind of... I'm not even sure. I'm not even sure that there are some who even really know what they were originally talking about in all of this. Am I really supporting someone, or am I just voting against it? And then it cuts down to, well, you know, it's all about who he's going to appoint, and that's what it's about. It has nothing to do with him. I'm no fan of this guy, really. Yeah, I kind of see the problems, but I just think there's a lot of intellectual dishonesty in all of this. That's the unfortunate reality. And now, of course, the recent news, which the question is, where did these tax forms come from? Who released these? What was this all about? But the real question is it really going to hurt Donald Trump anyway? Because we know he has very overly confidently stated things of the nature of, I could shoot someone walking down the street and I'm not going to drop in the polls. We win. This is what it's all about in the primaries, which was seemingly true because he was riding the tide through that time and so far out ahead of his counterparts in the primary race. But now there's this, and yeah, quite honestly, I don't think for a moment it is really going to matter. Because to the Trump supporter, first off, there are plenty of Trump supporters who think income tax is unconstitutional, I guess, or something that says there's no way we need to be paying taxes anyway. That's just the government getting bigger. And if you're in that camp and you see this, as Rudy Giuliani apparently has said, that it's a genius move. As Trump himself said, it's just smart business. Whatever. If you look at this and you see that, well, this guy sheltered himself because he managed to take a loss on his tax report with such depth that it essentially shielded him from tax responsibility, liability for 20 years. There are those who say, well, this is just smart. Trump says it himself. Giuliani says it. And again, there are plenty of people in that camp who would say, hey, you know what? This is a way that works. What are you worried about? So ultimately, will this make a dent? Will it cause a problem? I don't necessarily see that happening. I think that if it was... And again, politicians are politicians. They're going to do anything they can to get elected. They're going to find a way to take the lemons and make lemonade or make a lemon cream pie, right? Stacked tie with meringue, whatever. They're going to find a way to make this work in the best possible way they can, and that's what's going to happen. It's going to come down to that. But interestingly, there are those who are now coming out basically saying, look, if this is something you're going to criticize, or excuse me, if this is something you're going to excuse, if you're going to say, no problem, this is just Trump doing business and all is good, then don't criticize those who you accuse of working the system when it comes to any kind of government service. Because we hear that. We hear, well, there's welfare abuse. There are those who've worked the system to the point that this is just the way they function, right? They function in this world of always having an angle, right? It's always about finding a way to work this way and that way and weave around these things in order to make something. And, you know, there's, again, what did I say earlier? It is all about perspective. And I think that we forget that. We forget, and we just assume that our side is better. No, it's not. It's just different. When it comes to politics, your side's not better. It's just different. That's all it is. Now, we can't say the same thing about our faith. We can't say, well, your faith is just different. I think we could say, certainly as Catholics, and this is the beauty of Catholicism, is that we can say, yes, truth exists in all faith expressions. No question. A degree of truth. Varying degrees of truth. And that's not to say that everybody else is wrong, because the grace of God is bigger than all of us anyway. And as Jesus says himself, we'll be surprised. We'll be surprised. Because there are those who have cast out demons in Jesus' name. There are those who have dined with him, who he will say, depart from me, you never knew me, right? And so, you know, we can definitely think at times this is right, only to have a very frightening realization in the end. Which reminds me, over the weekend, I almost forgot to mention, I was fortunate enough to be a part of an amazing event with a spiritual director and former Anglican priest, now Catholic evangelist, Dan Burke, talking about this very thing when it comes to knowing Jesus and what that means. And as he says, the same root word scripturally that Jesus uses there is the same expression and meaning of the word knowing or knew Adam to Eve, as it is mentioned in Genesis. A very intimate spousal connection with the other that only brings about a newness, something, an experience, right? Experiential, sensual, spousal connection that really is required of all of us in our faith. Which leads me on to talk about what Pope Francis has to say when it comes to gender theory and homosexual relationships. We'll get to that after this. I'm Leo Brown. Leo Brown Almost Hour, back in a moment.
If you enjoy listening to the Leo Brown Almost Hour, consider becoming a friend of the show. Go to breadboxmedia.com and click on Friend of the Show to provide your support. Thank you. You are listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app. Change the world.
Good afternoon. We're We're back. I'm Leo Brown. Happy to be with you. Leo Brown, Almost Hour. Culture, current events, our Catholic faith, 50 minutes every afternoon. Thought this was fun. No comments on this, but interesting. The four types of drunks according to science. This from Time Magazine, because Time Magazine talks about the important stuff, obviously, like the four types of drunks. And apparently the largest percentage is in the Hemingway, Ernest Hemingway. So they boil it down to Ernest Hemingway, Mary Poppins, Nutty Professor, and Mr. Hyde's, apparently. So Hemingway's you don't see major changes, which good if that's the majority, right? Mary Poppins apparently get sweeter and happier, so they just kind of have a more charming disposition. Nutty Professors maybe just get a little uninhibited, oftentimes naturally introverted, then add alcohol and crazy things can happen. And then Mr. Hyde's, the evil twin drinkers who are, according to the study, particularly less responsible, less intellectual, more hostile. But certainly, I got to say, I've seen every one of those certainly exhibited. Well, the 40%, I guess you wouldn't see much anyway. But the one that's most interesting to me in having seen this after having done hundreds and hundreds of mobile DJ events, the ones that come out of their shell, right? They come out of their shell and it appears as though it's a wow, like this, you'll probably regret this. And back in the day, there was no instant immediate video to be posted all over Facebook. Certainly no, even photographs were less common. So it's something that I think that we have to be careful of, because if you're one of those who lose your inhibitions, now that could be a viral video very quickly. So certainly watch what you do there. But again, I'm not sure. I think I'm a Hemingway, probably, generally. I wish I was more Mary Poppins, but I don't think I've got that in me, unfortunately. So Pope is saying respect gays and transsexuals, but questions gender theory, according to Reuters. This is the article. And aboard the papal plane, right? So the Pope on a plane, this is when things get interesting. But certainly reiterating and echoing the understanding that we have had as Catholics always, and I think a very misunderstood position when it comes to certainly embracing with love and understanding anyone equally. Human dignity is human dignity. This is what it is. Regardless of your sexual orientation, regardless of your attraction, regardless of your temptations, regardless of your sin, regardless of your actions, none of that matters. None of it matters. Because in the end, we're children of God. We are in the exact same light of grace. Some of us participate and allow ourselves to be to bask in that grace. Some of us don't. But I think it's interesting, at the same time that he says what he says about embracing those of same-sex attraction, he's very careful to say gender theory, however, is another question that I think bears a greater degree of scrutiny. And certainly talking about what he sees is certainly the very real indoctrination that can happen from these programs. This is his concern. And it appears to be there is an undoubted trajectory that can happen. I've talked about this before on this show, where grooming takes place at a certain age, and usually it's an introduction into a lifestyle based on this grooming. And it's not necessarily what happens when young people fall in love. right? I think if most of us remember our first love, it's this hormonal energy that happens, and we just become infatuated with one another, and it's something that we can't necessarily, it's just an attraction. We can't control. It's generally an out of control attraction that would come after, result of that out of control, passion. But nonetheless, this happens in young love, and this is what occurs. It's this mutual attraction between opposite sex that we're wired to experience, and this is naturally the trajectory for young love. New love generally has that effect. With homosexuality, there's generally some degree of grooming, and oftentimes it's in the very early ages of adolescence when it begins, and then, you know, prepubescent into puberty, and it's a grooming that can take place. And having been in the environment where I was a victim of this type of grooming experience, but fortunately, having already had a blush of young love and realizing certainly where my attractions were, but still at the same time, knowing very well, I was not being fooled for a second. I knew what was going on, but I was in an environment as a high school kid working in the community theater in my town where guys who were at that point 20, 30, 40 years older than me were in, had plenty of experience with this type of dynamic of approaching young men. And it just began very innocuously, just conversation, hanging out, few drinks, maybe some marijuana. Inhibitions should be down. This is why I think I'm a Hemingway and have been always, because I certainly kept my head about me when it came to realizing what was going on. And these guys would, and one particular time, it happened a few times because there was a process, but when it finally got to the point where I'm like, guys, this is crazy. No, I'm out of here. They were at least respectful. It wasn't like they were aggressive, physically aggressive. That didn't happen at all. But just this always just kind of planting these seeds of doubt, right? Just, I'm going to plant this little seed here because you're so young. You could not know. You don't know really what your sexuality is. You have no idea. Plant a little seed here. Hey, let me tell you a story about me, because I was 22 years old before I realized really who I was and came out of the closet. What are you, all of these? And so it was just all of this kind of, I'm going to take it a little bit further, going to groom a little bit more. And that was a process, and it was me and a friend of mine from high school. We walked together through this experience, and neither of us fell prey to their tactics. But it's interesting knowing now, looking back and certainly having the understanding of this process being common and having experienced it, even though I knew it was happening, I didn't realize how common this is. This is the introduction. Rarely, and it might happen. It might happen. But I would say it's rare. Very, very rare, where two people of the same sex just have this intense desire for one another, where they can't, they can't be fulfilled without one another's presence. like we do in Young Love, right? We've been down that. I think the vast majority of us have experienced that somewhere. That's not what usually happens. It usually is a convincing, a kind of a talking into, okay, this is the way I need to go. Oh, you know what? You are right. I have experienced all those things too. And the sharing, it's a bizarre sort of evangelization process. Being introduced and groomed in. So the Holy Father coming out and saying, hey, gender theory, I can't embrace that. We are created by God, male and female. This is what we see as Catholics, and I can't put credence to that, and I don't think that kids need to be subjected to that. So kind of a both and in this position of saying, hey, you know, homosexuals, transsexuals, no. We don't need to discriminate. We need to offer our love and our grace to them just as we would anyone with equal human dignity, knowing that they are truly a son or daughter of God. Absolutely. But hey, let's be careful of really where we go with this, because we might be taking it too far. More to come in a moment. Rabbi Ahmed with us. I'm Leo Brown. Leo Brown, Almost Hour. Back after this.
You are listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app. Change the world.
Hour. And of course, things happen sometimes in radio. Rabbi Ahmed should be with us tomorrow. We'll hope that we can reschedule and have that happen, and we'll talk to her about what's happening with the Muslim Public Affairs Council. But I did want to talk about this, and interesting when you look at what's happening on referendums across the country. We have across the world, forgive me, in various countries, where you have things happening like Brexit, right? This was a vote by public demand. We're leaving the European Union, and you look at that and you think, wow, you know, it's power of the people. I guess we want that. We want to have some say in what's happening, and we hopefully know what's best for all of us. And we look at that and you think, my goodness, you know, I mean, that's kind of, there's something to admire, I think, about a move of that nature, where it's undoubtedly a movement of the people for the people. This is what our country was supposedly based on, this idea of democracy of that nature. And then you look at what happened in Colombia over the weekend with this, just a very bizarre referendum. And that is whether they would continue this decade-long civil strife with a rebel faction, or they would cease fire, and they would look for a peace deal. And it was given to the public to vote on this referendum, and it failed. The peace deal failed. So there's enough people with just an animosity toward others to say, no, we got to keep fighting. We just got to keep fighting, because that's how we do it. That's bizarre. I mean, I think, and what's crazy is the rebel group and the government had actually brokered a peace deal, had at least brokered a ceasefire, and were headed toward peace. And then the referendum was already on the ballot, came around, and enough of the population of Colombia said, no, we like our fighting, I guess. I mean, that's kind of what it looks like. It's kind of what it seems like we've come up with here, is that, wow, you know, how do you make a decision like that? I mean, I was scratching my head. How do you make a decision like Brexit? But these referendum deals come along and this happens. So it's so bizarre. But sometimes you have to ask, you know, is popular good? Which I think, generally speaking, no. The popular choice can be good, but it doesn't mean that it is. And just because everybody's doing it or everyone's in favor of it doesn't mean it's right. Doesn't mean it's the best in the long run. I mean, that's something we got to realize as well, that short-sighted decisions that, and even in this case, I mean, obviously it was decades of thought put into the fact that we want to keep fighting. We want to keep fighting. But oftentimes those very impetuous, reactive sort of decisions, man, I mean, that's bad news. It could be bad news. And speaking of which, we talked to Lori Desitels, which, by the way, we got to get her rescheduled. It's been a while, and I really want to talk to her because she has such important work. And case in point, talking with our 9-year-old, who is at that point now where he's kind of going, I don't know why, I don't know. I'm like, we had this conversation just over the weekend. Something he got upset about, and I'm like, Zach, man, but why are you doing this? I don't know, I don't know. I said, well, you know what? I know. And I'm going to tell you why. I'm going to teach you why you're doing this, which I think interestingly enough, I got his attention and we were able to talk through this. Now, God willing, believe me, God willing, this works to the point where it really becomes a tool for him. But this is the kind of stuff that Lori talks about when it comes to this emotional intelligence. Just understanding why you're experiencing what you're experiencing is a huge part of the battle. I would not say half the battle. I'd say 80% of the battle, just getting to that point of going, okay, at least I know why I'm experiencing this. And so the idea is that we have within us this fight or flight mechanism, this stress response. And when we can stop and recognize, well, I know why I'm feeling this way, we can at least begin then to identify it. And by identifying it, we can begin to address it. So in our situation, I explained this to him. He seemed to understand. And I said, you know, here's the thing. You've just got to stop. You got to stop. You're not going to flee. You're not going to run away. You're not going, which, you know, kids try to do and he's tried. You're not going to fight about this. You're going to take this third option, which is you being in control. You're not letting your emotions and your stress response take over. They were there. They're there for cases of real emergencies. And when that happens, you react that way. They were built into you for real reason, but they come up when you don't need them. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to learn to work through this in a way that allows you the best opportunity of success, and that is by stopping and breathing and counting. That's what you're going to do. You're going to stop, breathe, and count. SBC. Stop, breathe, count to 10. Before anything, before you fly off the hip with something, no, you're not going to do that. So we'll see. So far, so good. It's very, very, very new right now. So we'll see how it all happens, pans out. But I think oftentimes, you know, when there's a referendum vote and we send this to people to vote for, and we just kind of get this gut reaction, and then you end up with, you got to kind of take it for what it is and roll with it. And, you know, so now Colombia, at least the governing, the rebel faction and the government have come together to say, we're going to honor the ceasefire. We're actually going to try to make the most of this situation and work toward peace, which is good. So whether the people want peace or not, those guys are going to try. So, yeah, and then you have the exact, I think, opposite situation. We look at what's happening in the Philippines now. The Philippine president there, apparently his way, here's his law and order. You want to fight crime, kill them, kill people, and they will stop being criminals. You want a deterrent, we will shoot you publicly. And even says that Hitler is one of his idols. I mean, this is who we've got in the Philippines. And when you see this kind of stuff, which is exactly the opposite despotic dictatorship type of position, not taking it to the people to say, hey, what do you decide? And even if it's good or bad or weird, like this situation in Colombia, really taking the dictatorial approach and saying, this is how we solve stuff. And you look at the Philippines, vastly Catholic, beautiful, amazing people in the Philippines. Everyone I've ever met or encountered, just the sweetest, amazing, most wonderful person. And then you've got a leader who is essentially just saying, you know what? This is the way we're going to do it. And who cares? Human rights? Who cares? You're a drug addict. You're a criminal. We'll shoot you. You'll die. Weird, right? This day and age, 2016, almost 2017. So we're approaching the end of the year. This is what we get. Bizarre. Also, interesting news, speaking of making decisions, there is at least one bishop in Lincoln, Nebraska, who is taking a very measured approach to this particular election and saying, you know what, Catholics, you don't have to vote for either of these, which I think is interesting because generally speaking, bishops will steer clear of de-endorsing someone for fear of that loss of tax exemption. But I think in this case, he's not doing what the USA Today did and saying, don't vote. We got to save the country from Trump, so don't vote for him. It's not that type of extreme position on one candidate. He's saying, look, you don't have to. You have other options. Not asking you to sit this out, not asking you to not do your civic duty of casting a vote, but don't think you have to. Don't think you have to block, right? I think that's what he's saying, because there are many who are now just convinced, and who knows, maybe in this referendum in Colombia they were doing the same thing, but there are many who are convinced, I have to block this vote. I have to come in here and prevent this other individual from getting in. And the only way to do that is to vote for the most likely candidate to win who I don't like, right? The lesser of two, who I don't like as much. But I already don't like them. I don't like either one of them. But you know what? I got to vote for one of them to keep the other one from being there. And Bishop Connolly, very wisely, logically, has stepped out and said, no, that's a fallacy. You can vote with principle. You can vote for someone that you actually like. You can find someone that you believe in. Those options are there. And don't fool yourself in thinking that they're not. So that article posted over on my Facebook page. Follow me there, Leo C. Brown. Thank you so much for listening. That's all we have time for this afternoon. Leo Brown, Almost Hour. God bless.
If you enjoy listening to the Leo Brown Almost Hour, consider becoming a friend of the show. Go to breadboxmedia.com and click on Friend of the Show to provide your support. Thank you. Thank you for listening to Breadbox Media Podcasts. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app. Change the world.